Thank you, Dwight. I could think of a lot more songs on time than he thought about. I thought about Rock Around the Clock, Time in a Bottle. Probably not appropriate, however. But anyway, we appreciate Dwight. Appreciate all of you that are here this morning. It is a great day. You know, I'm thankful to be alive. I don't know about you, but I hope you thank God every day for your life. But the book of Hebrews chapter 9, 27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Do you realize that life is ticking away? It is. Every day. You live by the calendar, you live by the clock. Time is ticking away. Sometimes we would like to hold on to time. I don't know about you, but I would. There are times when I'd like to just hold time right where it is. I know I can't do that. There are times when I would like to reach up and grab that clock and move it back in time, to go back in time. People often talk about the good old days, how they'd like to go back in time. But we know absolutely that we cannot do that. That is impossible. You know, people have a way sometimes of getting things all mixed up when we talk about time and when we talk about death. A few years ago, a letter appeared in the national news that was actually sent to a deceased person by the Indiana Department of Social Services. It read as follows. Your food stamps will be stopped effective March 2012 because we've received notice that you passed away. May God bless you. You may reapply if there is a change in your circumstances. Now, I don't know how many times that has ever happened to anybody. I know Lazarus came back from the dead, to live again here upon this earth, but I'm not real sure that's going to happen to us. I know that we will live again in eternity. Someone said that time is too slow for those who wait, too swift for those who fear, too long for those who grieve, too short for those who rejoice, but for those who love, time is eternity. You know, the bad news about time is that it flies. But the good news is that you and I are the pilot. We are the pilot of our own lives. And what we do with our life is up to us. We can either choose to live as God wants us to live, or we could choose to live for the world. Have you ever considered, what if you had 24 hours to live? If someone came to you and said, you're going to live 24 hours and that's it, your life is going to come to an abrupt end, what would you do? There are some things about your life that you would probably change. Your job, your house, your possessions, your hobbies would not really mean a lot to you anymore. Because we know that Christ said in Matthew 16 that all of these things are going to pass away, and what are you to profit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? But I know one thing, that your family and your friends would be very important. You would want to correct any of the wrongs that you had done in your life, assuring your family and your friends of your great love for them. Matthew 18, Christ said, if you know that you have aught in your heart, or your brother has aught against you, go and try to make things right while you have time and while you have opportunity. You see, your condition before God would now be of greater importance to you, and it would be to me. You will soon be crossing over to the other side, believe it or not. For the Bible in Psalms chapter 90 says, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, that is 80 years. There is strength, there is labor, but it is soon cut off, and we fly away. What if you had 7 days to live? Would it really make a difference? Some of the things would be unimportant to you that were of great importance. And some of the things of life would be important that were not really important to you. Bible study and prayer moves to the top of the things that you would want to do, John 5 and verse 39. You would not miss a single service. If you had 7 days to live, I can assure you, and you would savor every moment of every act of worship in which we engage as God's people, Hebrews 10, 25. For the Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as we see that day approaching. What if you had 1 year to live? Now you have time to make some radical changes in your life, in the what we call the important areas of your life. Worship now moves to the top of the list. It really does. No more hit and miss. No more being unfaithful for 3 or 4 months and coming back to church. But you would be loyal and you would be faithful to God if you knew that you only had 7 days left or 1 year. Bible study and prayer would be a very vital part of your everyday life. For Luke 18 and verse 1 says, men ought always pray and faint not. Your spiritual influence upon your family and friends would now become of greater concern to you. For Jesus said to let your light shine before the world, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And I can assure you that some things would mildly be important to you now, like your job, your possessions, your hobby, your relaxation, your pleasure, the things that you really consider to be important at one time. But what if you had 20 years to live? Do you know how the worldly people reason when they think that way, that they might have 20 years to live? Well, first of all, they would say, well, that's a long time, the year 2032. I have 20 years to live it up and then get right with God. Well, I hear people say all the time, I need my times. Weekends is all that I really have. Some say one prayer a day is plenty, isn't it? That would be about 7,300 times in 20 years. I mean, after all, shouldn't God be pleased? Bible study and worship and giving. When I can, I'll do it. I've had people tell me who live haphazard lives spiritually, they say, well, you know, but I love Jesus as much as any man or the next man. But do you? And some say, with regard to my spiritual influence, when I'm not living as I ought to live, well, no one is perfect. You ever heard people justify their lack of commitment to Christ by saying, well, you know, not everyone's perfect in this world? Well, there's some lessons that we need to learn. I'm going to do this very quickly, but I want you to listen and focus in on what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. Someone said, the clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. So live in love and toil with a will and place no faith in tomorrow, for the hands may then be still. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose oneself is more. But to lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. And it is true. What are the lessons that we ought to learn? Number one, we should learn that time and choice belong to all people. Do you know that you awaken this morning with a new day? David said, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. God has given you this day. It is up to you to do what you will with it. It is a choice that you must make. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 11 and 12, Solomon said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, or yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all, every one of us. We choose our destiny. It is true that time and choice belong to all of us. But there's a second thing you need to know that is extremely important. That is, we don't know how long we will live. We don't. How long will you live? You're planning on living a long, long life? Some of you are. I heard about someone the other day that found out he had cancer and it was incurable. Young man. Looks as though he may die prematurely because there was nothing they could do. Plan to live a long life like many of us do. But it happens to all of us. Sometimes God calls on the calendar when we least expect it. And death prevails on many of us when we're waiting to live that long, good life as we often talk about. But we don't know how long we will live. Not really. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net. Notice what he said. And as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. Do you know that most deaths occur unexpectedly? When we least expect it, it happens to us. People are killed in tragic accidents. People are killed in drive-by shootings. People die of heart attacks. People die very, very quickly, and before long, they are hurled out into eternity to meet their God. When they were planning on living that additional 20 years, but it happens. In Psalms 90 and verse 10, Solomon said, "The days of our lives are 70 years again. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. It is soon cut off and we fly away." But there's another lesson we need to learn. And that is, there is no promise of another day. There's no assurance that you'll awaken in the morning to get out of your bed. I have been with families when loved ones died in the middle of the night. They anticipated what they were going to do the very next day. They talked about what they were going to do on Monday, all the things that they were going to accomplish, but they died in the middle of the night. They were banking on a tomorrow that never came. They kept hoping about a future that just was not there, not in this life. James 4 says in verse 14, "Where is you do not know what shall happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanishes away." Life is like that. It is. When we think that we can continue to live and that we're going to make plans for tomorrow and next week and next month and next year and years beyond, we fail to remember that there is no promise of God for another day. There just is not. But fourthly, there's another lesson you need to learn in view of that fact, that time is ticking away. And that is that in this life, while that time is ticking away, some will gain the world and lose their own soul. Jesus asked a question in the book of Mark 8, verse 36 and 37. "For what is a man to profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Do you know that many today are exchanging their soul and their spiritual life and their destiny with God for the things of this world? The things that will perish. Jesus said, "Labor not for the meat that does perish, but for the imperishable." It is a sad thing. It is a sad thing that sometimes people in life are more focused on things in this world than they are on God. Someone said that you can't read an article that appeared in the Atlanta Journal back in the year 1997 without some remorse and sympathy for a man by the name of Clarence Jackson. You see, the clock struck midnight, and Clarence Jackson didn't turn into a millionaire. Jackson, who was 24, worked in a small cleaning business in Hartford, Connecticut. He worked there to help his elderly parents. He won the Connecticut Lotto jackpot in October of 1995. Think about it, 2 years prior. It was worth $5.8 million. He submitted the ticket 3 days after the one-year deadline. He had given the ticket to his ailing father and didn't realize that it was a winner until 15 minutes before the deadline. He didn't know he could verify the ticket at his local lotto dealer. Instead, he waited until Monday to redeem the ticket at lotto headquarters. It was too late, and the Connecticut House of Representatives voted, think about it, voted 82-63 to award Jackson the money. But Senator Alvin Penn at the time refused to allow the bill to come to the floor of the Senate. And thus the bill died. Representative Michael Lawyer said, "Give the guy the money. You say we can't change the rules. Well, we're the legislator." Jackson and the Connecticut State Capitol, a dejected man. They refused to do it. You ever thought about what it would be like to be too late to claim $5.8 million? I don't know. It would be devastating, I suppose. But it probably wouldn't be nearly as devastating as to being too late for the return of Christ, our Lord. I know one thing, many are living their lives in such a way as to deny Christ the glory and the honor while pursuing the things of this world. Some live for the world instead of God. Jesus said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." Many are living what they call the good life. They're searching for it. They think that the real things of this world are going to bring them happiness and joy and contentment, and it never ever satisfies. It doesn't. Jesus said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." Don't follow the crowd. You see, there is a warning from God. There is a warning from God. And that warning says that this world is passing away. It is going to. And James 4 and verse 4 says that whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But there's a fifth thing you need to know. And that is, the Lord will come again quickly. Not only do we die when we least expect it, but Christ will come again when we least expect it. Jesus said, "No man knows the day nor the hour when the Lord will come again." But 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 through 4 says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will so come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." Jesus is coming again. Ready or not. But there's a sixth thing, last of all, that you need to know. And that is that while we have time and opportunity, and as this clock is ticking away, God calls upon us to repent and get ready for eternity. For in Luke, the 13th chapter and verse 3, Jesus said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And it's true. Repentance seemed to be the thought of every sermon in the New Testament, to get right with God. Why do you have time? Don't wait. Don't linger. To wait is to deny Christ the life that He wants you to live and an eternity that He wants you to experience. Have you ever thought about all the months of the year? There are many of them. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Have you ever really wondered which month? In which month will you draw your last breath? In which month will you die? What month will they write your obituary? How much time do you have left? Have you ever thought about it? How much time do you really have left? Sometimes when you're young, you begin to think, well, I've got a bright future. And sometimes we're so disillusioned, aren't we? Because death prevails on all, not just the old. Time. Think about it. We live in time. God lives in eternity. Benjamin Franklin said, "It's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give an account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Learn from yesterday and live today. Hope for tomorrow, for lost time is never found again." Just how much time do you have left? You ever thought about it? Clock, it's ticking away. Every second, the minute, the hour, the day, the week, the month, the year, and soon we're hurled out into eternity. How much time do you have left? Do you have any idea? Do you really have any idea how long you're going to live? Are you living like you have 7 days? Maybe 24 hours? 20 years? 1 year? One thing is certain, that time is ticking away. It is. There's a countdown in your life right now. How long? How long will it count down? Your heart will not beat forever. We like to think it will. People go to the doctor, they got heart problems. Doctor puts a stent in your heart. Doctor does open heart surgery on your arteries and your heart continues to beat. They put the monitor on you. Everything looks fine, but one day, it will flatline and it will cease to beat. It will flatline and beat for the last time. And when it does, where will you be then? You know what? Any way you say it, the end will come. It will. It'll happen. The end. No, that's a horrible sound to most of us, isn't it? The end. The end of a marriage. The end of a relationship. The end of a life. The end. Period. Isn't it time that we kneel before the cross of our Savior? Before it's too late? Isn't it time that we really get serious about the cross? Not just sing about it, not just talk about it, but bow before the cross of Christ and become His child. We sing at the cross where I first saw the light. We see the light, but we do nothing about it. God calls us to repent. He warns us of living for the world and in the world, and yet we continue to do it. And time is ticking away. I can't help but wonder what Jesus thinks when he looks at the world. When Christ looks down upon this old world and He sheds that tear, when He sees us for what we really are, what does God think of those of us that are there? What does He think? Do you realize that some people are sacrificing their soul on the altar of the world? Isn't it time that we give up the world for Christ? Isn't it time that we make a deep commitment unto Jesus? God has a plan of salvation. He does. And God wants us to come to Him. Quit sacrificing your soul on the altar of the world. But recognize God's plan of salvation by, first of all, acknowledging Him, hearing the Word of God, believing Christ, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ as Lord, and by being baptized for the remission of your sin, and then living those days as those moments tick away for your Lord and for your Savior. It's so important. Why? Because tomorrow may be too late. You must make that choice now. Tomorrow could be too late. Many of us sit idly by waiting, thinking about tomorrow and what we're going to do with all of that time. One of these days, I'll serve God. But we wait until it's too late. We like to think that we'll get things right before they take us off to the cemetery, only to be disillusioned. An aged minister one time was lost on an unpaved, unmarked road in West Texas. He went to a farmhouse to inquire as how he could reach his destination. And a little freckle-faced boy gave the following directions to the minister. He said, "Go right down the big road out here for several miles, and you make a left. And then you go for about another 2 miles, and you make a right." And he said, "You'll come to a graveyard then." He said, "Go right on through the graveyard. And just on the other side, you will find a smooth paved highway. Turn to the right, and the place you're looking for is just around the corner." He said, "When you get to the cemetery, all your troubles will be over." Let me ask you a very somber and sobering question this morning. When they take your lifeless body to the cemetery, to the graveyard, will all of your troubles be over? Will they? Will you have made preparation for the journey into eternity? Will you know with great assurance that God will welcome you home? Or must you confess that you waited too long and the moments ticked away, the hours passed, and you refused to obey God? This morning, I hope as you think about the moments that are ticking away in your life, and they are. They are. Do you realize over 10,000 people statistically have died since I started this sermon? It is true. 20,000 in an hour, over 20, are hurled into eternity to meet God. Some prepared, some not. And whether you're prepared or not is a decision that you make. And no one will be accountable for that decision except you. I don't know how long you'll live. I don't know how long I'll live. That's why I want to make sure, without any reservation at all, that every day I live my life according to the will of my Father who's in heaven. I hope you're doing that. But I hope today, if you're not, that you would make a commitment to Christ to do so. Don't let another moment, another second pass without surrendering your will to the will of God. To be obedient unto Him. We'll be happy to assist you in doing that. And if you're a Christian and you too realize that the moments are ticking away and there's sin in your life that's been unrepented of, and you know that if God were to call you into judgment today, that there are things that are still amiss, things for which you will answer. Let me urge you this morning, as a preacher of the gospel and one who loves your soul, to make your life right with God. Every year I preach memorial services and funerals for people that I love and people that I thought would live that long good life, only for me to be disillusioned. But I speak at those memorial services for people who thought that they would live to see their grandchildren grown and their great-grandchildren come along. And there's no promise. Would you want to sacrifice your soul for the world, knowing that that could happen? God could call you into eternity at any moment He chooses. So I hope this morning, as we sing this great hymn of encouragement and invitation, that we'll not delay, we'll not wait, while we stand and while we sing.